Thank you for being here. Tonight is our 100th anniversary, as Brian said. Our 100th episode. We've been doing it 100 years. It feels like it. We do have like 15 different comics on. If anyone has ever seen the show, you know that we usually have three comics, and they write the whole goddamn show. But since we've been doing this for 3.5 years, we decided to try to cherry-pick a bunch of people we've had on the show over the years. And it wasn't because they were good. It's just that we wanted to make sure there were 15 people in the room for our 100th episode. And it fucking worked. So we're going to go ahead and start. Thank you guys for being here. We really appreciate you fucking doing it. We really do. All right.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned 4 specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That is you.
In a show called Stab.
Oh, welcome Stab. To Stab. Number 100. Yes, it took us 3 years to get here. Thank you guys for being here. I'm at a loss for words. Are you ready to meet your first 3 contestants of the game of Stab? Okay. All right, quit bugging me. Here we go. Please, let's get the stage to Edgar Granados. Edgar Granados. Right there. Then in the middle, please welcome to stage Rhoda Ramon. Oh, she's coming in from the audience like it's the fucking Price is Right. Yes. And last but not least, he'll be with us throughout the whole show. He makes it. Please welcome to stage the very lovely, talented Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones.
Sort of spaced out.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Couldn't be better, John. Thanks so
Could
much for
be
having
better?
Me.
Could be better?
Couldn't be.
Thank you for... I just want everyone to notice 2 Latinos on the stage to open the show. All right. Thank you very much. 2 Latinos.
It's completely canceled out by you 2 white guys.
Yeah. Just like to keep it even diversity. On the stage.
No, you are so pale, John.
Thank you. I am. I'm sorry. It's like there's 3 white guys up here. That's why.
He said it,
Edgar,
not me.
You wouldn't get in trouble for a racial slur. It's fine. Edgar, the reason we have you here is this is a reverse intervention. We want you to start doing drugs again.
You know, I kind of want me to start doing drugs again too, John. But.
Well, we invited you here because we usually start our segment off called This Was Today Once, and I think you had probably one of the best This Was Today Once drug-fueled ramblings, possibly.
Yeah.
But it was really good where it was Jose Canseco's birthday. And woohoo!
We have a fan.
Oakland A's fans here. Jose Canseco and his twin brother, Ozzy Canseco's birthday from Havana, Cuba. They both were. And I forget what the other one was, but you did a wonderful job. And I'm like, we need to have Edgar. We're just trying to build you up here. So.
Yeah. No, thank you. I out of all the prompts, I despise this one the most.
Right? Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It's the worst, most difficult prompt. Because it's like you just lie there, and I'm doing all the humping.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And so it's a challenge that I'm ready.
All right, here we go. So this first segment is called This Was Today Once. Okay. Good pop. There we go. Edgar, on this date, 1993, Shannon Daugherty. Shannon Daugherty is fired from Beverly Hills 90210. Also on this very date, 1907, Eugene H. Farrar is the first person to ever sing on the radio. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Well, I'd like to take everyone back to 1907. The year was 1907, December 16th, and Eugene H. Farrar is the first person to sing on the radio from the Brooklyn Navy Yard in New York City. And so I went to New York City myself to I can't read and do the song at the same time. Which is a real bummer. I ran into that obstacle last time, but I've done so many of those aforementioned drugs that I forgot that I can't do both. So I went to the Brooklyn Navy Yard to get the full scoop from someone who was actually there. It was Shannon Liam Doherty. It was a male Shannon Doherty. Was there on that day, December 16th, and here is a recording of him, as far as the people at home know, describing the event as he saw it.
Well, it was dark out still. See, the sun hadn't been invented yet. We got by through candlelight vigils from all the polio deaths.
And I remember Eugene was awful nervous because his sweetie was listening at his favorite saloon. See, they were still called saloons back then. Horses pulled carriages and cheese was made from tapioca. Well, it just so happened that Eugene's mistress was at that exact same saloon for the very same reason. This is where I ask, wait, so you're saying Eugene H. Farrar was an adulterer? He said, oh yes, and a gambler, a bare-knuckle boxer, a train robber, and an opium addict. We all were back then. Anyways, he had just gotten word from his best chum, Haberford G. Rustenbottom, and he was three jacks short of a brush game about the whole thing. So what happened? He sang the song. But the whole Navy Yard was making goofs at him, saying things like, Eugene, Eugene, no good at keeping his affairs in order. See, insults were more direct back then. And creativity wasn't invented until the stock market crashed. Wow, some really moving stuff. And then I remembered that on this day in 1993, when I was exactly 10 months old. Yeah. Yeah.
Is today your birthday?
No, it was exactly 10 months ago.
Oh. 10 months old. I got it.
Yes.
I'm listening.
Are you?
Now. I'm listening now.
This is why we're not together anymore. This is when I remember that Shannon Doherty was fired from Beverly Hills 90210, a show I've never watched, but I'm open to watching if you guys aren't doing anything later. So I grabbed old man Shannon and threw him in the trunk of the sports car I'd stolen from Sharknado creator and 90210 star Ian Ziering. And stomped on the gas. For 90 minutes, I drove 210 miles per hour, upended several roadblocks, and caused $1 trillion of damage in pileups and casualties. A trillion is 1 million to the nth degree. Eventually, I crashed the vehicle into a construction site and was forced to continue on foot, 1,000 miles with old man Shannon on my back, powered by sheer adrenaline and fear. My goal was to convince Shannon Thomas with a... Or, sorry, Shannon Liam Doherty, with a combination of intravenous injection of epinephrine horse tranquilizer and angel dust, to fistfight Jenny Garth, who ranked 59th on For Him magazine's Sexiest Women of 2000. Unfortunately, I got the Tory spelling wrong on her address and had to Luke Perry an attack from one infuriated Brad Pitt. No doubt still licking his wounds from Angelina Jolie totally blowing up his spot by announcing their divorce and at the beginning of a news cycle. I mean, like, that's totally a calculated move, right? Anyways, the cops show up and arrested old man Shannon Doherty, who in the Brad brawl had fallen on my vassal of syringes. He bled out on the sidewalk after suffering 9,210 gunshot wounds. But not before they called the church and had a Jason Priestley read him his final rites. Anyway, I managed to escape in the ensuing massacre and donated $90,210 to the National Breast Cancer Foundation.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's for the people that have been keeping up with Shannon Doherty.
Yes, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it. That's
very good. Edgar Granados. Yes. Edgar, you're welcome to sit through the rest of this prompt if you'd like. You can leave if you want to. I'm not asking you to.
I'm going to leave.
All right. Well, we'll see you.
No, I'll stay. It didn't get a laugh, so I'm going to stay. Okay, all right. It's a simple show business, baby. It's as simple as that.
Rhoda, Latin number two.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
How are
you?
I'm great. How are you?
You know, I just want to recognize you for your sacrifices of doing STAB. You live in Lodi.
Yes. Wow.
So anytime you've been asked to do STAB, you've had to still live in Lodi while doing STAB. In fact, we did STAB down in the Bay Area.
Yes.
And you drove down, and we did STAB in a church.
Yes. I was there.
And you made it. And thank you for that. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all.
I mean,
sure.
My marriage is probably over because I chose to came here tonight, but... I love STAB that much.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. And she was hiding from her husband for wrecking his car.
Yeah, I feel like I wrecked his car the last time I did STAB, and he's pissed at me that I'm here tonight because I'm doing STAB. So it's like STAB is like trying to wreck my marriage.
Yep, it'll do it.
Maybe I'm okay with that. I don't know. Okay. I don't know how I feel right now.
Fellas? Okay.
I'm just kidding, everyone.
All right. Rhoda, on this date... 1631, Mount Vesuvius in Italy erupts, destroying 6 villages and killing 4,000 people. Also on this very date, 1994, Davy Jones of the Monkees is charged with the DWI. How'd you celebrate these things combined?
You know, when thinking of how I should commemorate this momentous occasion, I drew a complete blank. I hit a wall, almost like I was driving under the influence. So I had to pick a decision of what I was going to do by 6 p.m. because that's when I have to pick up my kid. And I began to panic, but even though I came up with nothing, I just kept coming up with nothing. It's like, how do you celebrate two forces of nature such as these in tandem? You know, after all, Mount Vesuvius had multiple natural disasters and was a huge force of nature, while Davy Jones had multiple DWIs and was a very small force of nature. Mm. If you knew the guy, he was practically the Peter Dinklage of pop stars. But both conjured up a myriad of screaming women and sexually confused men, which in turn led to two very different kinds of unexpected eruptions, if you know what I mean. But 6 came, and I rised. I wiped the sleep out of my eyes, and I decided once again I would sing, cheer up, drunk Davy, you gotta do hooey. Why rich people don't use chauffeurs is a mystery to me. Cheer up, Giuseppe. Oh, what can it mean to be covered in hot lava while in Italy?
That was beautiful. Rhoda Ramon. Singing her heart out. Rhoda, thank you.
Thank you.
Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
On this date... 1775, English author Jane Austen was born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah! Fucking yeah!
That was a lot of excitement. Also on this very date, 1971, Don McLean's 8-plus-minute version of American Pie is released. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events?
Well, it's really fun how actually the three of us sort of, in a way, interweaved all of our thoughts together, and it's wonderful and beautiful. At first glance, John, one might assume that Madam Austin and Lord McLean would have nothing whatsoever to do with one another. Naturally, I would ask that one to kindly shut the fuck up about topics which they ain't got a lick of know nothing about. In fact, much of Mr. McLean's early work was heavily influenced by the proper 19th century prose of Jane Austen. And so it was that earlier this week I embarked on my annual pilgrimage to the Don McLean Memorial Library in New Rochelle, New York. And while I realized that Don McLean is still alive,
oh my God,
and actually actively touring, most people don't. So the fact that it's his memorial library is rarely brought up by visitors. While there, I dug through the songwriter's archives, where I found the original Jane Austen-inspired first draft of American Pie. And while I could recite to you the entire 22-minute original draft from memory, I will instead simply share a short excerpt to show you where this iconic story started and see how the spirit remained intact while the language may have been finessed for the broader folk music audience of 1971. 'Twas ever such a distant time since past. With fondness I do recall the mirthsome grin brought about by the songs of the day. Oh, so assured am I that were I given such opportunity, I too could inspire a galloping frolic, perchance to cause a fleeting gleeful spell. And we all know the chorus, of course. And then farewell, farewell, Lady Colonial Confection. Guided my carriage to the mill pond. Alas, the mill pond was bereft. Noble, jolly, elderly gents imbibed distilled spirits and wine. Crooning, the date of my passing has arrived. The date of my passing. It has arrived. And while there is much debate, I still think the original works just as well, if not better than the final version.
Very good, Jesse Jones. This was Today Ones. One more time for Edgar Granados. And Roto Ramon, get the fuck out of here. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Jesse, you stay.
So should I just stay? Okay.
It's too much, too much, too much, too much. Are you guys ready to meet your next contestant? Okay, please welcome to the stage, Stephen Ferris, Danielle Mandela, and Jesse Jones. Also on the phone.
Really?
Yes. We are going to have Ben Rice calling in. He is in Portland and couldn't be a part of the night, but he was desperate and he reached out. And so he's like, put me on. I need to be on staff. I'm in Portland. Hi, please. This is too much. So we're going to call him. I'm going to get him on speakerphone really quick if we can. Let's see here. Hello, Ben.
Yes, hello, John.
Yeah. Can everyone?
No.
I just dropped the phone on my balls. Hello?
Hello.
There we go. Hey, Ben. Ben.
Yes.
Are you in a cab? Are you drunk right now?
I'm sober and in a hotel room, John.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Very sorry. Oh, they're shouting your name. They just said they love you, Ben. Ben, the segment we're playing right now is Reorganization. Please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Seeing that today is our 100th episode of STAB, we were just going to go ahead and use the Roman numeral for 100, which is just C. Which I thought would have been a funny acronym to give, but maybe a little boring. But since that won't really work, we decided to go with the fact that this is technically really our 118th show, but it is our 100th recorded episode. So we're going to go with the acronym CXVIII.
Okay, perfect. Well, again, I want to thank you for calling, John.
Yes.
And congratulations to you and Jesse on your 100th episode. Honestly, I never thought you had it in you, so congrats for getting that far. And I'm sure those Stab message boards, you can find those at Stab4Gold, that's Stab, the number 4Gold.com, are flooded with equal parts love and vitriol. It can be very difficult for you to parse, because people will often, like, cheer things that aren't good and, like, boo things that are really great, and you can't really get a feel for them. You know, so I think it's very important in this post-Trump Stab society, remember that CXVIII, that is, to remember that Caucasian xenophobes vary in internet intensity. Those cyberspace trolls, John. Thanks for calling. Toodaloo.
All right, thank you, Ben. I think we caught it.
I feel like I can understand him as well as when he's here just now.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, Ben, we'll go ahead and post that on the website.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of Stab 100, Ben. Enjoy your time in the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you so much for having me. Enjoy the show.
All right, goodbye. Ben Rice, you can catch him on Barley and Me podcast. Okay. Steve Ferris, the fuck are you doing?
Hey.
I'm kidding. Hi, Steve. Thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Today's acronym is CXVIII. What does that mean to you?
To me, like, it looked like a Honda. So, because you know they have like the CRX and the CRV,
right?
And so, I kind of like looked up like their naming conventions for those two cars to kind of come up with what it should be. So. I came up with compact. It's a compact crossover vehicle.
Okay.
Injected international internet.
Okay.
So, because I saw the three eyes, because the CXV, that's like the Honda part, you know?
Right.
And I was like, Honda, they haven't really had a car that has like a bunch of eyes like that. But then I was thinking of like the BMW 2002 TII, which is like a super special edition of it. And those, the eyes stand for Injected International. Okay. And they didn't have the internet in the 70s when that car came out, so... I was like, well, then the third eye has to be the internet. So that's how I came up with that. And then I was thinking, all right, because the other thing I was thinking of, too, was like there's three eyes. And I thought of that Puff Daddy song, Been Around the World. And I. So
I love that you're attributing that song to Puff Daddy. Yeah. But, okay. Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know there were earlier songs that he sampled. Right. That from,
I know,
but that was like probably the first time I had ever heard that was from the Puff Daddy one. So that was just like where my mind went first. That's all. But I just thought it worked because it's like he's talking about going around the world, and it's like the injected international
internet.
And then, like, this is, you know, you guys' 100th episode
right.
that you recorded, right? So correct. It's like you guys have, like, been around the world in a sense with the show.
Huh. Or to Santa Rosa, or...
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, not everywhere, but just... And I mean more, like, metaphorically even than actually going all around, you know?
Right.
So
are you just checking your phone or
yeah, because I had jotted down a few notes, and I wanted to make sure that I covered everything.
Okay.
I didn't write it out word for word. You know, sometimes I do, but this time I just didn't do it, so. But yeah, I don't know. I was maybe going to do like more of the Puff Daddy song, like, but because I think the next part is like, and we've been play a hated or something like that, but right. That's, I don't really know that much of it, so I think that's good enough.
All right, well, thank you, Steve Ferris.
Sure.
Thank you. Danielle Mandela.
Hello.
Full disclosure, everyone, Danielle is a co-producer of this show. So we don't want to...
So my comedy doesn't count.
It's just conflict of interest. Let me make sure. Danielle Mandela, CXVIII. What does it mean to you?
So if you look at the dial on your the dial screen on your phone, the letters CXVII, they correspond to a phone number, which is part of a secret protective service that's sponsored by Planned Parenthood. The program used to be codenamed Jenny until that cover was blown in 1982 by the notorious stalker, Tommy Two-Tone. And by the time the program recovered, the only letters left at the phone company were CXVIII. So the way that it works is it's a phone number that anybody can hand out if you need to appease like an overzealous Tinder date or an Uber pool rider that just has serious stalker potential written all over them. So you might be thinking, like, that's not enough numbers for a phone number. What if my creeper knows how to count? It's part of the plan. So you and your friend, you can give any single, you can add any single digit to the end of the number, and when it's dialed, it'll still make our pre-recorded hotline bling. So like if you and a friend are at a bar and you're getting like double dipped by the same whiskey soaked red flag who's asking if he can call you maybe, you can both use the hotline number without arousing suspicion by just adding a different number to the end. So you can confidently tell that Billy or Ricky, don't lose that number. Because you won't be anywhere that they can find you. CXVIII is a gender unbiased service, so regardless of orientation, if you feel that their behavior is unacceptable, condescending, or unnecessarily critical, I thought that would get more. You don't have to get physical, just give them a wake-up call. Our award-winning pre-recorded operators, Lionel and Adele, are standing by now ready to say hello.
Very good, Danielle Mandela. Pulling references,
yeah.
Going over your heads.
Way too deep.
Listen back the second
deep
time.
Deep Rune 5.
That's
way
right.
Back.
That was a lot. That was some Rune 5
so
in there.
So much.
Jesse Jones.
Yes.
You're still here. Thank you.
Sure.
CXVIII, what does it mean to you?
Well, just in time for Christmas. It's the latest advancement in wearable technology. Look out, Apple Watch. Move over, Samsung Gear. It's the brand new Coleco Xerox version 111. You know when software juggernauts Coleco and Xerox combine their awesome computing powers behind a single project that it's going to be something special. And when that software is powering the latest state-of-the-art hardware from Texas Instruments, then it's truly a combination without rival. Marvel at the mind-shattering 4-bit, two-dimensional graphics on the Texas Instruments liquid crystal display in 4 crisp, vibrant shades of green. And with a staggering 2 megabyte hard drive capacity, you'll be able to tell the time and track your heart rate, usually at the same time. Weighing in at a whisper light 14 pounds. The Texas Instruments Coleco Xerox version 111 is really more of a gauntlet than a watch. And available in more than a dozen radical patterns and designs, the CXV-111's stylish battery backpack. We'll keep you on the go and in the move for a full 6 hours before needing to be connected to its lead-shielded charging cradle. For it's quick as a hiccup 72-hour recharge cycle. New for 2016 and beyond, the Coleco Xerox version 111. Bring it home for only $24.55.95. Available from Radio Shack. And, well, really just Radio Shack.
Very good. That was Reorganization. One more time for Steve Ferris. Danielle Mandela. And Jesse Jones. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Are you guys ready to meet your next contestants for our topical haiku challenge? Please welcome to the stage Lindy West, Nick Bruner, and Jesse Jones. Sorry, guys. I really love this song. I'm just going to let it play through. This is the topical haiku challenge with our slightly racist music. Contestants, how are you? Lindy, how are you?
I'm grand.
Great. You look good. Luke Soyan.
Do I look good, John?
You look better.
Oh, do you hear that?
Not better than her. You just look better than last time. Beard back. Hello. Nick Bruner, how are you?
Hey, John, I'd be fantastic if I knew about this more than 40 minutes and three drinks before being asked to do this. Thank you. All right.
Hello, everybody. Someone got sick, so.
Oh, well. You're a trooper. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. Jesse Jones.
Yes.
What's new?
I don't know. I'm just right. Sitting over here.
Okay. Well, we're about to... Ooh, I just burped. Ooh, the garbage. Topical haiku challenge. Please have written three haiku each in regard to the following topical story. A NASA scientist is warning that the Earth is due for another extinction level event, like a comet or an asteroid strike of some sort, and claims there won't be anything we can do to stop it. Lindy West, your first haiku.
My first haiku is titled Kapow Poof. Why you say all things come to an end? Go take your dirt nap.
Very good. Luke Soyan, your first of three.
My first one's called Never Too Late for a Sequel. All right. It's been a long time since Mother Earth's been hit. She needs a deep impact.
Ooh. Made me warm. Nick Bruner.
I guess this one is called Ooh Boy. Death rock, typical. Never enough time to love our fiery judgment.
Jesse Jones.
Sort of tying in with Luke's. My first is titled, Don't Want to Miss a Thing. One good thing about the end of the world, awesome Aerosmith soundtrack.
That was a good time for Aerosmith. Lindy, your second pass.
My next one is called NASA Got Me Like. NASA got me like, the world is ending again? What? What? Oh no, yo.
Luke.
All right, this one's called Find Me at Target. Here to clean the house. I'm gonna kill everyone. They call me Comet.
It's a new administration. Donald Trump? Yes, please. Bernie Sanders? Easy. Your move, Grandpa.
All right.
Nick received his prompts 40 minutes ago. 40 minutes ago.
These aren't very good.
They're, no.
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was fantastic. Jesse Jones.
I'm glad I wrote four, so now I can cross off one that's too close to that one. My second is titled, Nice Planet You Got Here. Hate to see something happen to it. All right, NASA. Jeez. We get it. Budget season. Fucking dial it back.
Very good. And the third of three haiku, Lindy West.
This last one's called Good Riddance. People freak out because of population control. Space karma's a bitch.
Luke.
Yes. This one's called Casa Blanket the Earth and Doom. Of all the gin joints in all the world, she crashed into all of them. She's a fat bitch.
Nick Bruner.
Okay, real talk. That's what this one's called. Hey, Mom, your son might be queer, okay? I know, gross. Fine arts serves you right. I'm not sure if that has to do with a comment or the end of the world, or this is just some, like, I mean, just because I trust you all.
It's God's punishment. Very
good. It's a safe place.
This is a safe. We're all going to be okay, everyone.
My third
Jesse
is,
Jones.
Third is titled, Is That a Challenge?
Bullshit, asteroid! If anyone's going to kill this planet, it's us.
Very good. That was the Topical Haiku Challenge. Let's hear it one more time for Lindy West, Luke Soyan, Nick Bruner. Thank you, guys. Jesse Jones.
Nah, not worth the time. Be here all night.
All right, are you guys ready to meet your next contestants? Okay, good. One of you. We're going to just keep going with the Topical Haiku Challenge. Turn on the A. Yeah. Very good.
We run a goddamn professional operation here.
Our lights are on batteries. That's nice.
Michael's lights powered by Amazon batteries.
All right, this next segment is called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Please welcome to the stage Jacqueline Wyand, Daniel Humbarger, Jamie Fernandez, and Jesse Jones. Hey, guys. Not just you up here, you know. Okay. This next segment, I already told you what the name of it was. It's called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Everyone, please have written your dating profile from the perspective of the following people or thing. I'm very sorry, Jacqueline, for this. How are you, by the way?
I'm great. How are you?
You're better. You were supposed to be on a show, and then you got sick.
Yeah.
And now you're not sick anymore.
No, I'm not.
Well, I'm glad you didn't die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it up for me, everyone.
Jacqueline, please have written the dating profile from the perspective of an ovipositor, an organ that's used by some animals for laying eggs. Please. Have written a dating profile from the perspective of an ovipositor.
Okay. This is a Tinder profile.
Okay.
And it reads, Susan, 38, 12 miles away. I don't know why it says Susan on here. I can't get Tinder to change it. Anyone who knows me just calls me Squirts. Please don't call me Susan. Only call me Squirts. I'm serious. I live in a seahorse. On Friday nights, I usually stay in while I enjoy a nice rosé, maybe make a stir fry, maybe watch a little HGTV, maybe squirt 1,500 eggs into a male seahorse. You know, whatever I'm feeling on that particular night, I'm flexible. I gotta be, you know, to squirt out that many eggs as often as I do. By now, you've probably guessed why everyone calls me Squirts. I guess I'm just looking for a warm pouch to deposit all my squirties into. That's what I call eggs. You probably noticed I seem kind of fun. That's because I am. I don't like hanging out with other ovipositors. They're too much drama. All my friends are warm seahorse pouches, and if you can't handle that, then you can suck a squirty. That's what I call eggs. Remember from before? Like I said, I'm kind of fun. Swipe left if the idea of an ovipositor enjoying life to the fullest while squirting out a fuck ton of eggs on the daily intimidates you.
Very good, Jacqueline. Wyan. Brings us next. Jamie Fernandez.
Yes.
Jamie Fernandez was on...
Stop it.
I'm going to say it. She was on our first stab 3 years ago.
Oh, okay,
episode
good.
Number
Yay.
One. She's now here she is. Yay. Look how far she's come. Yay. Look how far. She's so grown up.
All grown up.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's
please,
just as bad as the first time.
Okay, so. Good. Please have written a dating profile from the perspective of a Zumba class.
A Zumba class. Right.
A Zumba class.
I did this. I always have prefaces in mine. I did it from the perspective of like someone who would take a Zumba class.
Okay. You can change the prompt. No problem.
Is that fine for it? Also, and it's a OK Cupid. I went with OK Cupid.
Okay.
It's the one I've been on. So a little about me. Hi. I'm Carol. I'm a 42-year-old single mom with two rowdy 14-year-old girls, and God, I love every second of it. Unfortunately, them littles did a real number on my thighs, and it's not as easy as it used to be to bag some dick. After 2.5 divorces, 4 euthanized Pomeranians, and... and 16 variations of unflattering bangs, I've decided it's time to put myself out there and slightly salsa with a dash of saucy hip-hop my way into the perfect man. That's the about me. This is what I'm doing with my life. I don't know what happened in this part. I was just like, this seems right. Well... After the moderately okay had him by the balls a little fact settlement I got from divorce number Trace, I got into the gift basket making business, but get this. Instead of gourmet cheeses and pickled olives, I offer bottles of pure Mexican somas purchased monthly by my oldest and a couple of 10 milligram Vikings just for the come up. So, it's my gift basket. This is the most private thing I'm willing to admit. When I'm not sporting printed leggings and doing shimmies to Cuban music created by those Mexicans, I can get a little mysterious. At least 3 nights a week, I like to go down by the lake behind my house. I usually take a nice long shower before. Then I grabbed my safety-protected Colt 45. Intamin's glazed bundt cake and a bottle of E&J brandy, and I just really play with all of that stuff for hours down there. Usually, as soon as the cake is finished, I like to pull my head in and out of the water while yelling, "Nothing yet! Nothing yet! Nothing yet!" Of course, I'm talking about feeling something. These are six things I could never do without. My Zumba girls, Krista, Dana, and Felicia, we're all getting rid of our fat asses together, and I couldn't love them more, even if they were white. Toilet paper, LOL, I'm just being silly here. We don't do that, so it's like no big deal on that one. Target, leggings on point, $5 movie, Starbucks there, yes please. Garlic bread. Wine. Wine, only on Fridays, a must, besides brandy, that's daily. And the last thing is syringes. I don't know, this just seems nice. Message me if you're you're an attractive man with an adult man, manly man body, and a spark that's going to make me cry in your lap at movies that aren't sad. I want someone who can calm me down during my daily stress breakdowns, and will only cook pasta if I ask them to once a week. I don't know. brown suits on Thursdays, only jeans on Sundays, lip gloss play in the bedroom, and a romantic streak that you'll only ever show to me, your mom, and your husky named Daryl. minorities are fine if they have money. And don't be carrying any extra weight unless you're pushing a wheelbarrow around. That's me, Carol.
Very good, Jamie Fernandez. Very good. Daniel Humbarger. Please have written a dating profile from the perspective of a gingerbread man. A gingerbread man.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yep. Move up on that mic, please.
Yeah. All right. He's bitter. He's bitter. Where to start? I hate talking about myself. Let's see. _gingerbread_man. With threes where the E's should be in gingerbread, because apparently there's no justice or sanity left in this fucking world. I'm literally nobody's first choice of pastry, but apparently my cultural identity is a popular username amongst fuckboy internet daters. I'm a survivor. As a child, I had to leave home because my parents were a senile old couple who literally tried to eat me. I ran from them as fast as I could until I met a fox by the river who said he'd get me to safety, but then ended up swallowing me whole. Turns out the backstabbing son of a bitch was diabetic. He threw me up and then died. Good for me, bad for him. So yeah, I got trust issues. But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? I got away, slang some dope, and saved up enough money to open my own Cinnabon. I've since opened two more, and I bought myself a used Corvette. I also saved up enough money to refinish the cement patio behind my house. Maybe the bones of that fox's family are under that cement slab, and maybe they aren't. All I'm saying is I wouldn't fuck with me. I'm a Scorpio. Some people give a shit about astrological signs. Maybe you're one of them. I'm not. Moving on. My interests are, who gives a fuck? You know you don't, sweetheart. Be honest. The only way you'd date a talking pastry is either for my money or to piss off your father. We're going to bang for a few weeks. You'll parade me around your coworkers at holiday parties, and then you're going to leave. Because that's what they all do. And that's okay. I get it. I don't even know by what dark, mysterious forces I was granted sentient life. I don't know what strange stirring in the cosmos breathed consciousness into this temporal crumbly vessel I call a body. I just know I'm here to get my kicks before the whole shithouse goes up in flames, toots. I like to keep things fresh. I try not to be stale. I don't mean in conversation. I just mean I'm trying not to go stale. That's something I have to fucking deal with. Sure, it won't bother you at first, but the constant need for fresh icing and the fact that I have raisins for eyes wears on the best of them, doll. Do you know how fucking hot it is to have raisins for eyes? Here's a thought experiment for you. Gouge out your fucking eyes. And where there's an empty socket, stuff some raisins in there. Now tell me what you see. Here's a hint, darkness. And if you're wondering how I drive a vet with raisins for eyes, you're overthinking this, sweetheart. My dislikes include not being able to enjoy when someone goes down on me because I'm constantly in fear some diabetic motherfucker's sweet tooth will kick in at an inopportune moment. And also another dislike is sometimes the booty is too good and I'll prematurely gumdrop if you know what I mean, and I think you do. But it's not all bad. I know how to have fun. If you take a chance on me, I'll show you one of the best times you ever had. I'll drink you under the table, rock your world, and leave you with the sweetest yeast infection you'll ever get.
Very good. Daniel Humberger, the perspective of a gingerbread man. Very good. Very good. Jesse Jones.
Yes.
Please have written a dating profile from the perspective of a $10 bill. $10 bill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Username, Thousand Penny Al. I'm a non-binary, asexual, in a non-monogamous open relationship. Looking for anyone near me for short-term dating. Myself summary. I got a lot more popular recently, which you might think is cool, but it fucking isn't. Before that, I was pretty chill and anonymous, but that's fucking gone now. What I'm doing with my life. Wishing Lin-Manuel Miranda had taken a little more goddamn time digging around the founding fathers to find out how fucking hip Richard Dobbs Spate or Thomas Milfin were. Also being folded into birthday cards by grandparents who know nothing about their grandchildren and what they're into. I'm really good at purchasing about 4.5 gallons of gas all at once nowadays. And being kinda orange for no real reason. Favorite books, movies, shows, music, and food. Favorite food, 1 medium, 2 topping pizza at most national chains. As for music or shows, you can absolutely go directly to fucking yourself. Six things I could never do without. My serial number. My watermark. The U.S. Treasury, that new reflective metal ink, I guess. The Mayan and Babylonian concept of zero. And a 75% cotton, 25% linen blend. Spend a lot of time thinking about how Jefferson on the 2 doesn't have to put up with this shit. We all get that Hamilton's on the 10, right?
Right, yes.
If not, welcome to this joke. On a typical Friday night, I am rounding out payments for a drug deal because 160 is a little too much and 140 just doesn't seem like quite enough. And listening to people completely caught off guard, wondering when they started making me fucking orange. You know the tin is orange?
Jesse, they're laughing.
It's fucking weird.
They're laughing at it.
You should message me if you want to maybe go to a discount movie theater. You want to get maybe one drink somewhere. Or if you want just the right amount of tokens at an arcade.
Very good. That was Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. One more time for Jacqueline Wyan. Jamie Fernandez. Daniel Humbarger. And Jesse Jones. Thank you very much, guys, for being on the show. We'll see you at the next 200. Thanks. That brings us to our final segment of the night, Department of Tourism. Thank you, Mike. Please welcome to the stage, JoJo Lewis. JoJo Lewis. Tyler Kenny. Alfonso Portella. And Jesse Jones is already here. Welcome, welcome, guys. See that transition? All right, this brings us...
Almost like done, said, everybody.
We're almost done. We're almost done. You can go home. Not yet. Department of Tourism, fan favorite. Everybody.
There's fans now.
We have fans now. We
do. Wow.
We do. We do. JoJo, thank you for being here.
You're welcome for
being here. You haven't been on the show in quite some time.
Yeah, I haven't.
You have your long hair back.
I do. Yes.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you for always looking like you just came from a job interview.
I have a lot of kids, man. Every day's a job interview. You know, I don't want to do the rest of the show anymore. It's not making money. JoJo, congrats. You've been hired to be the tourism director of the following town. Please make us want to come and live there. The name of your town is Social Justopia.
Okay.
Social Justopia.
It's maybe the worst one I've ever made.
Okay.
Okay.
I doubt it.
Okay. Welcome to Social Justopia. Hey, who the fuck wrote this ad copy? It's all fucked up. Look at this. Welcome to Social Justopia. There's a place where a man can be a man and a woman can be a woman. That's not right. It should be Social Justopia. There's a place where if you identify as a man or not, you can be yourself. Wait, no. If you identify as a man or not, you can be your man self or not your man self. That seems okay. All right, next one. It's a place where every child whiles away their days playing in the park. God damn it, we can't say that either. There's a place where every child self can express themselves in a manner that we could describe as play, from the pleonormative dyad of play and not play, in the general public space referred to as a park. Is that good? Okay. A place where a woman... Fuck! I mean, no. A place where those of the feminine... God damn it. Okay, a place... Look, all right, let's try this. A place where... If you have the sexual characteristic of vagina, in quotes, which is a biological component that has no bearing on your actual identity beyond its existence or not, that you can partake in a variety of activities not limited to cooking or cleaning or raising children. But if you want to do those things, that's fine, and we support your choice. And oh, and listen, I don't mean to speak for everyone in this city. I'm just saying that the collective zeitgeist of our time being what it is and more likely to be favorable towards... Oh, and by the way, when I say choice, I'm not trying to say it is a choice unless you want it to be a choice, in which case it is. In which case, it's not the case. Okay, look, it's cool. The weather here is good. I mean, the weather is typical. Though not always, it's on the good spectrum. If you identify as a woman, what's next in this ad copy. Hey, faggots, I didn't write that. Jesus, okay. God damn it. On behalf of the collective that makes up Social Justopia's Tourism Board, I apologize. We accept all people regardless of sexual orientation, not limited to hetero, homo, a, demi, or otherwise. And if you personally identify as faggot, you can just tell us when we'll call you that if you want or not. I don't know what the rules are. Okay. Social Justopia. No black people yet. God damn it! Social Justopia, though statistically rated to be the least diverse city in the world, consisting primarily of college-educated, predominantly white, middle-class, heterosexual, cisgender women who majored in film, we are extremely open to the idea of introducing diversity to our neighborhoods whose property values will certainly not fluctuate. Social Justopia, if you're here, don't say a fucking thing. Check us out on Tumblr.
Very good, JoJo. JoJo. Always. Always making us use the disclosure that this is a comedy show with context. Very good. Very good. All right. Tyler Kinney, please take us and make us. Want to come to the following city or town. Camp I see your pee-pee. Camp I see your pee-pee. Camp I see your pee-pee.
Okay, guys. Hey, everyone. So let me tell you a little bit about our camp. But first off, do you love your kids? Seriously, like, show of hands. Who loves their kids? Do you want them to have a summer full of fun times that become cherished memories? Jesus Christ. Then this is not the camp for you. If you love your children, then just move along to one of the other booths in this conference center. I'll wait. No, you may not have a pen. Okay, who's left? Let's see. Okay, we got a couple of pedophiles, some stone-cold maniacs, and a few sex traffickers. Okay, look, guys. Camp, I see your pee-pee. We got what you're looking for. We got archery. We got unattended minors. We got kayaks. We got confused runaways. We got sing-alongs, we got needle drugs, we got bug juice, we got people juice, we got bunk beds, we got bunk showers, we got canoe races, we got mixed races, we got track meets, we got track marks, we got taco day, we got taco day. We got tetherball. We got tethered balls. And arts and crafts. We even have a big talent show. Spoiler alert. A lot of the talents are being naked and white. At Camp I See Your Pee-Pee, we seek to create a timeless camp environment in a non-extraditable country where kids can learn and grow and meet new friends and anyone with enough Bitcoin. And where they end up at the end of the summer, I mean, well, you know, life is a journey. They say that, right, isn't it? And, you know, so if the agreed-upon amount of Bitcoin appears in one little birdie's bank account, then who knows, am I right? Life is a journey, fellas. Camp, I see your pee-pee. A little too on the nose.
Very good, Tyler Kinney.
Oh, God damn. Very good. Okay. Oh, Christ.
Alfonso, how are you over there?
I'm well. How are
you? I can't see you.
Hi.
Very good. Nice to see you.
It's good to see you as well.
It's good to see you in the flesh.
Yeah.
It's good to see you in butter also.
Yeah, that happened.
What website? Well, we can just go to your Facebook and see your head sculpted in butter, right?
Oh, the head sculpted in butter thing.
Yeah, no one's bringing that up.
Sorry, no one's bringing that. The other thing.
Oh. I'm talking about both things.
I bet you're talking about camp. I see your people.
Department of Tourism, that's what this segment's called. The name of your town is called Shody What Yo Name Isington. Shody What Yo Name Isington.
This is like a radio commercial for Shody What Yo Name Isington.
Speak up, we can't hear you.
This is a commercial for Shody What Yo Name Isington.
Okay.
Burn, burn. Damn, girl, you got an asset. Don't quit. Really? I can't believe it. I know. Guys can be such creeps. No, I can't believe I was only catcalled once today. Yesterday, I had 5 drive-by hollers, 3 from the driver's seat, 4 across the street, sup, Moss, and a FedEx guy said, God damn, under his breath when I walked by. And today it's already 4 p.m. and all I got was this song bullshit from a Prius. I wish there was a place where I'm always told I'm beautiful, where I feel valued and people seem super interested in knowing who I am. I'd feel so safe there. If only such a marvelous place existed. Shody, what your name is, Isington? Excuse me, did you want to know my name? No! The place you're describing is called Shorty What Your Name Isington. A badass beauty like yourself would love it there. I would. Hell yeah! Shorty What Your Name Isington is full of smooth ballers just like myself who are always down to let a bitch know when she got it going on. It's my hometown. How do I get there? Just close your eyes and jiggle your titties 3 times. Like this? Yeah, girl. Then find a ride to show you what your name is. You're so funny. Can you give me a ride? Sure can. I'll have my mom take us. Shody What Your Name Isington, just 10 miles south of Netflix in Chilhannesburg.
Very good. Alfonso Portella. Alfonso Portella, very good. Thank you very much. Jesse Jones, bring us home for the 100th time, the 500th time for yourself, or more. The town that you've been given is Stabdonia. A creation that you made up in one of our episodes.
Yeah.
I forget which one, but...
inside jokes always go over well.
Yep, yeah. Stabdonia.
Gone! Gone away is the sad, perpetually insecure non-tropolis of Sacramento. Replaced instead by the strong, virile, confident kingdom of Stabdonia. Which in the future will probably exist maybe one Wednesday a month at Luna's Cafe. Possibly one Friday a month at the Sacramento Comedy Spot. Luna's Cafe, Sacramento Comedy Spot. Buy some nachos. Take an improv class. Why wouldn't you? You're already there. Please allow me to be your guide through the glorious halls of Stabdonia. As you have arrived in time for our magnificent occasion of our centennial celebration. Of course, there are some who might say, but wait, High Emperor Groucho II. Didn't Stab already technically celebrate its 100th show at the Los Angeles Scripted Comedy Festival back in March?
No.
And given the episodes not aired due to poor recording quality and best ofs and whatnots all thrown in, isn't this evening simply a contrived imaginary number attributed to allow you an excuse for yet another hollow, vulgar celebration of all things Stab? To which I say, shut up, Ben Rice! Nobody asked you. While in Stabdonia, be sure to visit JoJo Lewis's house of many sad and loud things.
Uh,
Take a trip through Luke Soyn's shed of half-finished thoughts.
Where's Luke?
Johnny Taylor's world-famous Mumbleporium.
He was supposed to be on the show tonight. Yeah. He was supposed to be on the... This isn't a...
Back. To be fair.
Yes, okay.
And the sleek stainless steel capsule in which we freshly preserve Tyler Kenny in between appearances. And do please enjoy participating in Stabdonia's primary form of exercise. The masturbatory exercise of vainly celebrating your own forgotten existence. Hooray! You did a thing 100-something times, but if no one ever heard it, does it still matter? Of course it does! Because even the most gratuitous self-indulgent circle jerk still ends with cookies and high fives! And so in conclusion, if you have ever enjoyed even one of these journeys to Stabdonia over the years and wish to express your appreciation afterwards, remember, residents of Stabdonia do not exchange pleasantries and thank yous and good jobs to show their appreciation. They only accept Stabdonia's stole form of currency, fellatio! And of course, for those guests of the lady variety, do extend them your warmest, most heartfelt inverse fellatio! We eagerly await your vigorous expressions of gratitude after the show.
Very good. That was Stab 100 one more time for JoJo Lewis, Tyler Kenny, Alfonso Portella, and Jesse Jones. Let's hear it for Jesse Jones. Thank you, guys. Let's hear it for yourselves. Thank you for coming out to our 100th episode. Go on iTunes. Listen to some more if you enjoyed the show tonight. We don't even have a website anymore. Thank you, guys, for being here. We will be back with episode 101 coming probably in February or so. Thank you, guys, for being here. Good night.